This week's parsha is Parshas Behar. At the beginning of the parsha, it says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe behar Sinai lemar," that Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, saying, and then it goes on to describe the laws of Shemitah. Rashi says a famous line, "Ma inyan Shemitah etzel Har Sinai." What is the connection between Shemitah and Har Sinai? All of the laws of the Torah were given at Har Sinai. So why does the Torah have to single out and say that the laws of Shemitah, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe behar Sinai, lemer? We know that already. The Torah was given at Har Sinai, and the entire Torah was given at Har Sinai. So why do we have to go and specifically tell us by Shemitah that this is where the Torah was given at Har Sinai? This is where the Smitzah was given. So Rashi says, "Elamash Shmita Nemru Kloisel V'Dikdukeha Misinai Af Kulan Nemru Kloisel V'Dikdukeha Misinai." Just like Shmita, all the details were given at Har Sinai. It wasn't just a vague notion of a concept of Shmita. Everything was given very specifically. All the dinim, all the chukim, all the mishpatim, all the sifkatans of Shemitah was given at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu to give to Klal Yisrael. That's exactly what happens to all the mitzvah of the Torah. You pick any mitzvah of the Torah, mitzvahs, tefillin, and mezuzah, and bris milah, and maaseris, and trumas, everything that you want, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. That's the chiddush, why over here we single out that it was given at Har Sinai, because just like Shemitah was given everything at Har Sinai, so you should know that it's not just Shemitah, but it's really all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Now, it's still a little bit puzzling. Rashi's not really addressing so much why Shemitah, how we're so certain that Shemitah was given as a mitzvah at Har Sinai, meaning you're right, you answered the question of why it says Har Sinai by Shemitah to teach us a lima to the other mitzvahs. Well, why specifically Shemitah? It could have said this l'chayra by any mitzvah. If you're giving me a mitzvah of Pidgin HaBen, it could have said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this by Har Sinai, or wherever. Any mitzvah in the Torah could have been given out. So, and then we would be able to learn from that specific mitzvah. So why is it specifically Shemitah that we learn that the entirety of the corpus of the mitzvah was given at Har Sinai, just like, and therefore so too, all of the other mitzvahs of the Torah likewise. So the Chasam Sefer deals with this. The Chasam Sefer says something that's absolutely fantastic, and he says that if there's one mitzvah in the Torah that you could rest assured it was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu alone to Klal Yisrael, it was the mitzvah of Shemitah. There might be skeptics about other mitzvahs of the Torah. People could be cynical, and they could, you know, you could go online. I'm sure you could find, you know, how anything, you could say anything you want about any mitzvah in the Torah, that it was some, you know, Chas V'Shalom, it was somebody other than the Rabbeinu Shalom that was mitzavet. But no one but God could have been mitzavet the mitzvah of Shemitah. No one, if a human being were to take upon himself the task of making a Torah and writing laws and commandments that the people would have to abide by, you could get away with a lot in the mitzvahs. There's a lot of things. I could also make all types of laws and all types of parashat mishpatim. I could probably, you know, I have a team of legal scholars. I can make a nice parashat of Shemitah, and I can make a parasha of Trumas, but you would never, ever begin to have the audacity to be mitzaveh the mitzvah of Shemitah. Why? Because who in their right mind could ever possibly command a nation to stop planting on the seventh year and guarantee that you will be able to have enough sustenance for Vitzivises, Abracha, L'shol Hashem, the sixth year, the seventh year, the eighth year, you're going to be able to have Parnasa for all these years. Who but the Rabbeinu Shleilam would be able to command that? Think about that a second. imagine, you know, if you would be able to command somebody, you're a farmer, all you're going to be able to eat. You don't have a high-tech company on the side. Your entire income comes from harvesting figs, from harvesting wheat, barley, whatever it is that you're harvesting. That's your parnasa. And now I'm going to tell you, okay, but one thing. In the seventh year, you're not going to be able to plant or to pick or to do any work on the, you have to let it hefker, let everybody come and pick your produce off, and you can't plant new things. So seventh year is basically gone for you. You're not going to be able to be productive that year. And that's going to spill over into the eighth year, because until you start planting, until the new crops start growing in, you have a half a year of that year without any produce. But the Torah is saying, "Vitzivisias berkasi." I'm gonna make sure everybody's okay. A whole country is keeping the laws of Shemitah, and you're guaranteeing that. Don't worry, the economy is not gonna crash. Could you imagine? Let's say I would tell lawyers, every lawyer in the country, every seventh year. Is not allowed to, he has to go rest, he can learn for a year, he take a sabbatical, but you can't practice law. What would happen to the legal field? What would all the lawyers would starve. They wouldn't be able to make parnasa, and it would ruin the entire economy. But the Torah comes along and says, Shemitah, every seventh year you have to let the land lie fallow, you can't touch it, you can't work it, you can't look at it, you have let it be hefker, just don't do anything to it. And what's going to happen? If you're good about it, I'm going to command my bracha. A human mortal would never be able to, if he was trying to devise a Torah, would never do that. It's too risky. It's not only risky, it's ridiculous. It's not going to happen. The one mitzvah in the Torah, says the Chasam Sefer, that proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu A, exists, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B, gave us the Torah, and it's emes, it's Torah's emes, it's divinely ordained, this Torah, is the mitzvah of Shemitah. Why does the Torah single out Shemitah and say that that was given at Har Sinai? Because that's uncontestable. You can't debate the fact that this was a mitzvah that was given at Har Sinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Maimon Har Sinai definitely was the one that gave Shemitah. That was not composed by a mere mortal. That would be ridiculous to have a... And you see, thousands of years, Klal Yisrael, whenever Klal Yisrael was able to keep the mitzvah of Shemitah, Alad Masam, it's true, Baruch Hashem, no starvation, people are able to somehow make it, and the land regenerates, and everything is good. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be mitzvah that. So, mine in Shemitah, it's Hasinah. Just like Shemitah, everything was given at Hasinah, the Koliseum, the Dikdukayim, everything. So too, you should be rest assured that that's not the only mitzvah that was divine. Every one of the Targ mitzvahs was likewise given at Hasinah, uncontestably. This is the beautiful Chasam Sefer. This concept that we have to believe that every single mitzvah was given at Har Sinai and that nothing changed. All the mitzvahs that were given at Har Sinai we still have today is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim of the of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's religion, of this religion, the Yud Gimel Ikrei Adas that the Rambam quantifies in Perek Chelek, and we, you know, the Animamins are really just a contraction that whole thesis that the Rambam writes about in Perek Chelek. This is basically a summary of those. One of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is Animam Nushalema Shekalat Taira Hamitzuyata Biadenu He Anesuna L'Meish Rabbeinu Alav Shalom. Whatever Taira that we have today is what was given to Meish Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Don't ever question for a second that, well, maybe, you know, some of it was given to everything that we have, the entire Torah that we have, and not only the Torah Shebichsav, but even the Torah Shebaal Peh, Shas Bavli, and Yerushalmi, and the Midrashim, and the Sifra, and the Sifri, and the Zayar, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Nisei Kalim, and the Rambam, and everything that we have today, all of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, the entire corpus of Torah. The entire body of Torah, all of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai. And you have to believe that. If you don't understand that and you don't believe it, then you are in violation of one of the main tenets of the religion, and that is that you have to believe Emunah Shleimah, that the entire Torah that we have, it was not changed. It is exactly as it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. It's immutable. It stands today as it did then. And all of that is part of our religion, that we have to believe that the entirety of Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. If you want to see Mar Mekaymes about this, the best place to look is the Bir Hagra at the very beginning of Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos was graced by the Biurim of the Gra. The Gra wrote commentary on Pirkei Avos. Now you're probably wondering, how come we never hear like a shtickle Torah from the Gra on Pirkei Avos? Like, you know, we have Rabbi Yaina, we have Rambams, we have Rashi, we have Medrash Shmuel. There's a lot of different Pirushim on. I never hear anything about the Bir HaGra, because the Bir HaGra, like the Bir HaGra in Shulchan Aruch, basically he writes very concisely. He just gives Mar Mekaymes, and his Mar Mekaymes are sort of the giving the underpinnings to all of the Chazal and all the advice. Pirkei Avos is full of advice and wisdom, and from it wasn't just some advice that was rabbis were spinning good advice, like that's not what Pirkei Avos is Torah. And every single thing that one of the Tanoim said, you have to back it up. They're Chazal and that back it up. It wasn't just shooting from the hip and saying what he thinks is a smart thing. It's all Torah, and it's Torah Misinai. And the Rambam goes through the Mishnayos of Pirkei Avos and gives us very succinctly the Mar Mekaymes, where all of the Mishnayos are built on. Where do you get this from? Where did this Tana get it from? When it says in the first Mishnah, right out of the gate of Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from Har Sinai, Umisar LeYeshua and gave it over to Yeshua, the Gaon begins a list, an extensive list, of all the places that we know that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. One of them is the Chazal that we just learned together this morning, Mayan Yishmita Yitzel Har Sinai. Just like Shemitah was given, Kol Yisrael, Prat Yisrael, V'diktuhah, everything, every pitchivka, every single sivkotin of the halachas of Shemitah were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, so to all the mitzvahs of the Torah were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's one, I think that's the first maramakim that the Bir HaGra gives. He brings a Yerushalmi in the second parak of Peah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar, Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud v'Hagadah, the Torah Shebichtav, the Mikra, Chumash, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, Agadita, Afilo Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Lahiris Lefnei Rabbi, Kvar Nemar L'Moshe Misinai, everything, even what a Talmud is going to say over to his Rebbe, if you have a, you're in Shir, and your Rebbe is giving a Shir, and a Talmud says something, a Chiddush, a Ara, that also was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. The entire breadth and depth of Torah was given to Moshe. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing for Moshe Rabbeinu to have been able to be a Kli Kibol, to receive all of those, millions and millions and millions of reams of information. You look around, the Beis Medrash that we have, and how many Svarim we have lining the walls. That alone is a phenomenal thing. But our library is like a Tiba Shabayam. You go to real libraries, you go to real, you go to, in Eretz Yisrael, you go to some real Eitzer Svarim, or when I'm there, I like going to the Israel National Library. A massive, massive library. You go to Yeshiva University's library, massive, tens of millions of svarim, millions. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to keep not all those svarim, but the svarim that are legitimate svarim, that are real Torah, he had to know all of that. And Chazal are bothered by this. The Gemara Nedarim says that he wasn't able to really retain it. Achnitin Loi Matan, it was given to him as a gift. It was gifted to him because a human being doesn't have the capacity to hold all that knowledge in such a short amount of time. But everything that is legit, every genuine shtickle Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. All the, not just the Chumash was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, but all the Gemaras and all the Mishnayos and all the Agaditas. and all of the halachas, and every shir that was given, every shtickel Torah that was written, all of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu as part of our emunah. All of that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, I seen, and he gave all of that over to Yeshua, and it was transported throughout the generations. And the Medrash there ends, the Yerushalmi ends, Yesh davar sheyomer reiz echadoshu. Sometimes you say, oh, this is something new, it's a chiddush. Meshiva chaver v'aymer like varhayo l'olam. No, it's not really a chiddush, something that, this was long before you were born. You think you came up with that chiddush, beautiful chiddush, but you should know this is already, it preceded you. Everything was already at Har Sinai. Har Sinai really encompassed everything. All the Torah that is Metziyat Beidenu was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. There is a kasha that they ask from a Gemara Menachas and Chavtesim Abayz. The Gemara says there, Amr of Yehuda Marav, B'sha'a she'ala Moshe Lamarim. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, Matzul HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'yoshev v'kosher k'sarim lo'yisyes. He found HaKadosh Baruch Hu busy. What was he busy with? He was tying, as he was writing over the Torah to give to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was tying crowns onto the letters of the Torah. What are the crowns? If you ever look at a Sefer Torah, you'll find that there is little, what we call tagin, little crowns, like little points that are sticking up from the tops of the letters. Some have one point sticking up, some have three. The letters Shatnez Gatz. Shatnez is Shin, Ayin, Tes, Nun, Zayin, and then Gimel, Tzadi. All those letters have three little spears sticking up from the tops of their letters. Those are called tagin. They beautify the letters and makes the Sefer Torah look much nicer. It ornaments the letters. But Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered. This is what you're busy with? Like, what are you, who's causing you to do this? Like, what are you, what's the point of these tagin? Moshe Rabbeinu was a little, confused. Why you're doing this? Mi ma'akev ayodecha. So Hashem says to him, Amar le adam echad yesh, there will be a man someday, he's going to arise after several generations. At the end of a few generations, there will be a man, the Akiva ben Yosef Shmai. His name was Akiva ben Yosef, otherwise known as Rabbi Akiva. She'osid lidrash al kol kites v'kites, tilin shel halachis. He will darshan. He will have the ability to darshan on every single letter, and on every single kites, on every thorn, on every little of these points on top of the ICS. Those are not for naught. Those are not just to beautify the ICS. Those are in order for Akiva ben Yosef to go and darshan piles, reams of information, tilei tilin shel halachas, are going to be derived from those very tagin. We don't have a messiah for that. We don't know exactly what that means. Rabbi Akiva understood what these tagin meant, and he dashed. We understand gematrius a little bit. We have some shaykhas to different Rosh Tevis, and there's certain things that we do use. I don't think anyone that I know of knows how to darshan a tag. What does that mean? But Rabbi Akiva did know that. He knew that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was adding these tagin for Rabbi Akiva to come and darshan. Amar Lefanov. So Moshe Rabbeinu was intrigued. He said, Hashem, hereuli, I want to see this Akiva ben Yosef. Show him to me. Amar Loi Chazar La'acharecha. Turn around and I'll show him to you. Halach v'yashav b'sayf shmein ashurais. He went in, he was somehow transported in time, Moshe Rabbeinu, and he sat behind in the eighth row of Rabbi Akiva's shir room. There was first row, second row, third row. The first row is obviously the superstars, and then as it goes, it's Peiches Vailech. He was given the eighth row, Moshe Rabbeinu, to sit in Rabbi Akiva's shir. V'lahayodeya mahin aimrim. So it's very hard, Gemara, to understand Kipshuta. There's obviously a lot of depth that we have no idea what this Gemara means. But Moshe Rabbeinu was sort of sitting there, like sometimes we sit during shir and we're just like, what is going on? I have no idea what's going on. That seems to be on a certain level what was happening to Moshe. He was confused. I don't know what, he didn't understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying. What's this, what's the drushes that he's saying? What's the pilpo? What's the, what are these chidushim? I'm not getting it. Tashash Kaiche, and understandably, he felt very depressed. He felt bad. Kivan Shigia Ladavar Echad Amrulay Tamidav Rabbi Minayin Lach. Until Moshe Rabbeinu was asked, he said a var, said a chiddush. A Talmud asked him, Rabbi, where are you getting this from? Amar Lahen Halacha LeMoshe Misinai. This is Halacha LeMoshe Misinai. So he invoked Moshe Rabbeinu's name in the context of these inyanim that are Halacha LeMoshe Misinai. Nisyashva Daita. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu felt much better. Very difficult Gemara to understand on so many levels, but at least what we will take out of this Gemara right now is that I thought everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Didn't we just say that every shir was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? Every kol mashe talmud vasagas l'chadish l'hiris l'fnei rabbi is given to Moshe, all the mishnayos, all the gemaras. What exactly was so confused in Moshe Rabbeinu? This seems to go against this Yisai, this Yerushalmi in Peah, and this Rashi at the beginning of our parsha. All these things seem to point in the direction of Moshe Rabbeinu got everything. He was a master, Amar Dekula Talmudah. He was a master of everything. And now it seems like he didn't know everything. So which one is it? So this is not my kasha. This is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's kasha. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in Vayikra Yud Gimel Lamed Zayin says the following. He says it's true that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Well, everything. Mishnah, Gemara, Agadah, Halach, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. True. But this is a very big chiddush of the Aruch Chaim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given all of the elements of Torah, meaning he was given Chumash. Now separately he was given Torah Shebaal Peh, all the halachas of Torah Shebaal Peh. He was given all of the Medrashim. He was given all the Agadah. Everything was given. He had the whole package. One thing that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have was he didn't know, or he wasn't given the on a silver platter, the knowledge of how the Torah Shebaal Peh directly emanates from Torah Shebichsav. Meaning, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh are not two separate Torahs that are really not related. They're just, Hashem gave something, some things he gave as Torah Shebichsav, something he gave Torah, no. Everything that we have Torah Shebaal Peh, every single drasha bar none that we have, every halacha and Shulchan Aruch, everything is somehow rooted in the Torah. It's somehow rooted in the Torah. Torah Shebichsav is the ground from which Torah Shebaal Peh grows from. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had all the growth of Torah Shebaal Peh, and he had the ground of Torah Shebichsav. He just didn't get the wiring, the communication between where everything is rooted. That he didn't have, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. And so he did get the entire corpus of Torah, but he didn't, it was like a jigsaw puzzle. Here's all 1,000 pieces. Now you just have to figure out like where all the pieces fit in. How does Torah show, how do you get every drasha out of a pasuk, out of a gematria, out of whatever, a gzer shava, a lot of gemaras speak about. But not, we don't have every halacha exactly where the drasha comes from. Some things we do, a lot of drashas we do have, but some things we don't. One of the most beautiful chumashim, which I think is one of the greatest masterpieces of Torah literature that we have, is the Torah Tumima. Torah Tumima Chumash, which was written the Torah Tumima was a very fascinating person. He was a son of the Aruch HaShulchan, and he was he lived for a short time in America. I believe he was a banker at one point in America, and then I think he moved back to Europe. Very interesting story. I don't think he was, I don't know if he was ever a practicing Rav, but he was a Talmud Chacham, you know, on a different level. And what he did was, he said, you know what? We have a Torah Shebichsav, we have a Torah Shebaal Peh, but wouldn't it be fascinating if we can have all the drashas of Torah Shebaal Peh, or many of the drashas of Torah Shebaal Peh, typeset under the Torah Shebichtav Sav. So he put out a Chumash. Chumash had Targum and Rashi, like a standard Chumash. And then under that, he had all of the, not all, again, he didn't, I don't think he has every single Drasha, but like every single time, if the Torah says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, he found every place in throughout Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrashim, Agadatas, that quoted this Pasuk. And he brings it in a line. And then underneath that, there's a footnote, part of the page, and he explains, so you have a little bit of comprehension of what's going on, where the drasha comes from. And he was an expert in dikduk, and he was an expert in, he knew so much. Like you see in his, and he has other svarim called Tosefes Bracha, where you really see his brilliance even more. He knew, he had a grasp of Tanakh like no one else. He was able to say, okay, this type of word appears here, and there, and he gives beautiful drasha, but that was the point. That's why it's called Torah Tamima. He wanted to make the Torah Tamima. He wanted to make it perfect. He wanted to join and fuse together the Torah Shebichtav and the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Vilna Gaon does this also exceptionally beyond. He was, a lot of times, if you look in the Torah of the Vilna Gaon, and he'll say, like, where is this learned from? How do you know this? And he'll come up with a way of showing how it's rooted in the Pasuk. Either an extra letter, or it's chaser, or it's male, or it's we don't have to say this. Or, like, I think a classic example is ayin tachas ayin, right? So Chazal tell us that it doesn't mean an eye for an eye. If you poke out somebody's eye, we don't literally go and poke your eye out. There are, you know, Arab countries, and you know, maybe the tzaddikim took this literally, but we don't do this. We pay money. Mara says you have to pay money. If you poke out a guy's eye, you evaluate how much is an eye worth, and that's what you got to pay the guy. Where do you know this from? So he says, ayin tachas ayin, he says, if you look at the letters of the aleph beis, but tachas ayin, the under letters, meaning if you have aleph beis, so beis is under the aleph. Anyway, it spells out kesef. Ayin yud nun is kesef. Okay, so tachas ayin, it's kesef. He has these brilliant ways of darshaning every single thing, showing where it's rooted in a remez, in a pshat, in a mali, a chaser. Who else does this very well? Reb Chaim Kanievsky is one of the brilliant. So I always say the time of the krav, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, if you would cover up the top that it says time of the krav, I think it's a Vilna Gaon. I think it's like one of the Vilna Gaon Svarim, because he has this unique ability to do the same thing, to always figure out how, you know, where Chazal are getting this from. Where is this hinted? It has to be alluded to somewhere in the Pasuk, in a Chumash, or in Nach. Where is this alluded to? And he'll find it. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, with his brilliance, with his massive ability to, you know, with encyclopedic knowledge and his ability to drill down to every Kutza Shel Yud, he has the ability to do that. But that's part of what learning is all about. It's not just knowing the knowledge of Torah Shebichtav and knowing the knowledge, but it's being able to wire the two, to show how they're connected, how they're interconnected, interwired. And if you could do that, that's what Rabbi Akiva did. Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe he had the capacity to do it, but he hadn't done that yet. He just got the pieces of the puzzle, but he didn't put it together. So he didn't understand exactly what Rabbi Akiva was saying, because he knew the Torah Shebichtav, he knew it, but he didn't understand the interplay between them. And that's not going against the Gemara that says that Moshe Rabbeinu got everything. He did get everything. He just didn't understand, initially at least, how to put them together, how it's rooted, everything of the Torah Shebaal Peh, directly in the Torah Shebichtav. There's an important takeaway from everything that we're saying today. I think we all know that Torah Shebichtav is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Shemitah. The entire Torah, we believe with Emunah Shlema that this is the reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Torah. And we believe Emunah Shlema that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemaras that we have, the Bavlis, the Yerushalmis. No one in yeshiva would deny that. We wouldn't be spending all our days and nights learning Gemara if we didn't believe it. We have to believe that this is all divine. It's not, obviously, it was written by Tanaim, Amiraim, but all of that, there was a Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. This is all Kulay, right? It's all given from the Rabbeinu Shlomo, Mipi Adon Echad. what's very important to take away from this is that this is something that Rav Aaron Cutler writes about. If you want to look it up, it's the Mishnah Rav Aaron Chelek Dalid, Amud Ayin Resh. He says that nowadays it was very popular back in the time of Aaron, I guess it was the 1940s, 50s, to make these what was called an interdenominational meetings. Meaning you would take an Orthodox rabbi, a conservative rabbi, a reform rabbi, and they would sit together on certain boards and they would discuss theological issues or ashkafic issues, and sometimes it would be barabim, sometimes it would be private, and it seems like a nice thing to do. That's achdus, right? You have rabbis from Orthodox, conservative, reform, and they're all sitting together. It's Shalom al Yisrael, it's beautiful, it's kibbutz golius. Rav Aaron Cutler said this is a terrible, terrible thing. Why is it so terrible? He says because by sitting on a stage or standing on a stage and having people believe that an Orthodox rabbi is a rabbi, a conservative rabbi is a rabbi, and a reform rabbi is a rabbi is kfira and apikorsis. Why? Because you're not the same rabbi. If you're an Orthodox rabbi means that you believe that Torah is divine. You believe that Shemitah was given by Har Sinai, b'chol d'kugel, and you believe that every mitzvah in the Torah, tefillin, and Shabbos, and Taras HaMishpacha, and everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. Kol ha-Torah nesunim ha-mitzuya ha-tabiyadenu. All the Torah that we have is given, this is all divine. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing that was like man-made and man did this because it was better for this and it was better for that. We don't have to listen to the Rabbanans. We don't have to listen to Gezer Shabbos, to Siyagim, to this, to that. It's fine. We can you know, just take the Torah Shebichsav and sort of just use it accordingly. We could change the Siddur as. And you're standing on a stage with people that they might be called rabbis. They have ordination, whatever that means by them. But they have no interest in abiding by this truth that the whole Torah is given to Moshe Rabbeinu. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They don't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh. They do not believe that the Torah that Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi has any relevance to them necessarily. It might be, you know, something interesting in terms of scholarship and old knowledge and whatever the religion. But today I can do anything I want. And they do that. If it's not convenient for people, you know, to get to their temples because they're not going to walk, it's okay. So driving is okay. It's okay to drive a car now in Shabbos. What are you talking about? Is that's what Moshe Rabbeinu got in Har Sinai? No. So is that what the Gemara says? No. Is that what the Paiskim say? The Shulchan Aruch? No. So who are you to say that it's okay? Who are you to tell your congregants they don't have to keep Taras Mishpacha, that they can intermarry, that they can do LMI? It's a joke. It's just a game. So, you know, the people that are coming to these shuls, they're yidden. We don't fault them. They're tinoikish and they don't know any better. But the rabbis do. These are intellectual people. These are people that, you know, studied. They went to yeshiva. They went to their schools, whatever it is. And it's on them. And they're coming up with a new Shulchan Aruch. They didn't start it. It was started already, you know, in with the reform movement in the 1700s, 1800s. But and you're standing up there with all of the Torah, thousands of years of Messiah on your shoulders, and you're equating yourself with them. Ki'ilo, you know, it's normal to be sitting with somebody that's a total denier in Torah Shabbat Pen. What's the impression? What's the takeaway from the Hamaynam? Oh, he's a rabbi. They're just different denominations. It's like you have Lahabdil, you know, you have Protestant, and you have evangelical and different types of, they all are sort of under the same umbrella and it's all good. It's just different ways of approaching. That's not true. We have one Messiah and our Messiah is divine. We have a Kabbalah, Ishmi Piish, Ad Meshra Rabbeinu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And all the Paiskim that are speaking about, that are being done, all the Shailos HaTshuvas, whether it's about being Matar Agunos, and whether it's about in vitro fertilization, or whether it's about whether brain cells, stem cells, different halachas, and that are it's cutting edge. But it's all with a kabbal. They all have misery. You look at the tshuvas; it all comes straight down from Gemaras, from Shulchan Aruch, from Taisus and Diyukim and Rishayim and Machleks. Everything is well grounded in a misera from Har Sinai. And then you have these people that just have no idea. They have no sensitivity. They have no interest in even trying to understand because it's not important to them. Either they don't believe in Torah Misinai, or they don't believe in Torah Shabbat Be'er. They think that it was all half of it is man made, or the whole thing was man. Whatever they believe, Rav Aaron Kotler said you can't sit with them. You can't stand. You can't. You could. You wanna make a l'chaim with them gesundei, but to make an official maimed that we're all coming together, it's very dangerous. Because the impression is that it's all acceptable. Torah Shabbat Peh, you want, it's like, you could choose either, A, B, or C, or all of the above, or none of the above. It's all, whatever, it's a game. Whatever you want to choose, you could choose. That's not what Klal Yisrael believes in. Klal Yisrael does not believe that. There was a famous landmark decision of 11 Gedali Yisrael. I don't know exactly what year it was, maybe in the 70s. They were making a New York board of rabbis, I think it was. I think that was why. And basically, this was the same idea. They were having a New York board. Achdus, we're going to have Orthodox rabbis in this board. We're going to have conservative rabbis, reconstructionist rabbis. Everyone's going to meet, and we're going to discuss in Yonah Demaslo. And 11 Gedali Yisrael, including Rav Meisha and Rav Yankov and Ruderman and whoever it was. I don't have a list of them. I once tried to find the original copy. I was in the Aguda's office in Manhattan. They have an archive, and I was very close to the archivist, and I wanted to use in one of my sarim this. I said, where is it? He said, somebody borrowed it, and they never returned it. It's a historic document, and it's a yeshivish. They just, somebody borrowed it, and they never returned it. They do have photocopies of it, but the original document is no longer, just as an interesting aside. But these Gedalim said that you cannot join, an Orthodox rabbi is not allowed to join this, because what you're doing is you're giving credibility to the other beliefs. Now, this is not to say that you shouldn't be Makariv Reform Jews and Conservative Jews and non-affiliated Jews. Of course you should. That's not what we're talking about. It's not that, we're not against Achdus and loving other Jews. Of course we do. That's what the whole Kiruv movement is built on. This ability to embrace and to invite and to love other Yidden, that's definitely a big part of what we're all about as a people. We don't in any way look down on people that are Tineket Shenishbu. They don't know any better. They grew up. They went to schools that maybe Sunday school. They have no shayches to anything legitimate. They have no shayches to Gedali Yisrael and to Mesira. They don't know what Gemara is. They don't know what Rashi is. Anyway, they're just teaching basic Hebrew school, stuff. That's nothing. It's what they're teaching about Moses and Abraham. It's nothing. They're probably teaching it wrong, and they're teaching it as like probably a fairy tale. But that's Sunday school. They have no background. They have nothing. If they have, that's even a chiddush if they do have that. Most people today that are Jews, they have no shaykhs, even Eretz Yisrael, they have no shaykhs to anything that we're talking about today or anything that you learn on a daily basis in yeshiva. So of course we have to try to be makar of them and show them the beauty of Torah and bring them in. And thousands and tens of thousands of Yidden have, over the past decades, come back to the fold amazingly. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the leaders of these movements and to give them a platform, to give them a stage, to give them the chashivas. As human beings, they deserve chashivas like anyone did, but to give them an equal platform and as if they have an equal daya in terms of what to do and stand alongside a bona fide Orthodox rabbi is very, very, very dangerous, because it's undermining this principle that the Torah that we have is given from Moshe Rabbeinu. And if anyone questions that, it's not like, okay, so, but they're still nice people. They're still, that's true. They might be very nice people. But if they're called rabbis and they're Jewish leaders, and they don't believe in this stuff, and they don't believe that the Torah was given at Har Sinai, and a lot of them don't. They don't believe that there was a divine revelation. And if they do believe it, maybe they say that's just the written law. But the oral law was some rabbis that made it up, and we don't have to abide by it. If that's what you hold, that's what you hold. But you can't, if you're a regular from Rav and you're giving them a platform of equal footing with you, what you're doing is you're diminishing the covet of Torah. You're diminishing the entire sanctity and the authenticity and the very underpinnings of our Messiah, which is so important, it's so valuable. It's a very, very dangerous thing. You see it all the time. There are certain people that know better, and they still invite, to shuls or to certain other podcasts and things. They invite people from reform groups and conservative groups. They try to give them a daya, an opinion, as if we should appreciate them for being rabbinic leaders. That's pizyanus. That's literally pulling apart the entire Messiah of the Torah. So this Rashi that we started off with today about that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai is very relevant to us today. We have to believe that. We have to believe that the entire Torah that we have, all the Svarim, all the Chashuv Svarim and the Beis Medrash are all from Moshe Rabbeinu. We're given to HaKadosh, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Moshe, the Ketzais and the Nesivas and the Pnei Yeshua, the Rashba. All this was discussed in Shemaim and Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu and given to us, Midar Ladar. But more so, we have to understand that if we don't believe it, it's not just, okay, 12 out of 13 ain't bad. You have to, every single tenet of the Messiah is vital. And if somebody doesn't believe it, they might be a very nice person. You should definitely be nice to them. But to give them, oh, okay, let's hear what you have to say. What's your opinion on this matter? It's irrelevant, their opinion on this matter. They're not rabbis. They're not leaders. They don't have that credibility to say anything on the subject of Torah and mitzvahs because they don't believe in it. They're willing to be very flippant with all the halachas. They can't, contort the halachas based on whatever they need to do under the circumstance. They believe that that's fine. And that's something that is very, 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 it's a threat. It's a very big danger to the perception that we're supposed to maintain of the Kedushas HaTaira, of the Mesiris HaTaira, and the fact that Teres Hashem is Tamima, there's a Teres Shebechsav, Teres Shebalpeh, and the two of them are interconnected, and every single Kutzah Shalyot, every single Tag of the Taira is something that is vitally important, and it has a Mesira, and we have to be willing to be Meiser Nefesh for any single, for even a Kutzah Shalyot, even the little dot, the little point on a yud is part of our entire neshama of Klal Yisrael. And we can't allow other people to undermine it and give them the honor and the dignity after being not so purposefully interested in carrying on this tremendous Messiah that we have Midar Ladar. Have a wonderful Shabbos.